This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The state of Texas is leading a group of 10 other states in a lawsuit over President Obama's transgender bathroom policy. In May, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick ordered school districts from across the state to ignore the president's letter that informed them of the need to follow the Title IX requirements to allow transgender children to use the bathroom of their gender identity. On Saturday, August 13th, at the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center on San Pedro, there will be a community discussion about what this means for local transgender children and their parents. Community leaders like SAISD Board President Patty Radel will participate. It's free and open to the public. So we want to spend this time today here on KSTX talking about what this situation means, how this is impacting families here in San Antonio. And we're joined by Eleanor Goodwin. She has a transgender child at a local elementary school, Leo Castillo. He has just graduated from Jefferson High School. Lori Castillo is Leo's mom. And Lauren Farias is a transgender. She is also transgender. She has an adopted transgender daughter, Izzy, who just graduated from Brandeis High School. And welcome all y'all to The Source.
Thank you.
So, Leo, let's start with you. You just graduated from Jefferson High School. Congratulations.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
All right, so talk about your experience as a transgender going to Jefferson High School. Anything to report?
Well, the high school that I went to, it was very public. It was a public high school, and everyone was just pretty much on board because obviously they do not discriminate. So I had a really easy process at Thomas Jefferson High School. It was really fun. No one had any problem with it.
Our phone lines are open. Community invited to participate. Questions, comments, 210-614-8980. So, Leo, what bathroom did you use?
The men's.
Men's bathroom?
Yes.
Even on your birth certificate, it says, though, you are
man. Not a male.
A male.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so, we're no confusion there. You just followed your birth certificate?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so, let's talk about... you know, what's the issue? What is going to be happening at the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center? So, Lauren, tell us about the event.
The event will begin with Patty Radel talking about SAISD and their policies and their inclusion and how and why they're as inclusive as they are. We will have a gentleman from the ACLU, Victor Cornell, and he will be speaking about the law and what the law is and what process parents should follow. We'll have six parents of trans kids speaking and two trans kids. But we'll also be providing resources for parents, teachers, administrators, and others to help them understand that we're just normal people like everyone else and that it's generally not an issue. There's no research anywhere that says that there are necessarily any issues. Many, Des Moines, Iowa, the principal of a high school there, San Francisco, LA, many others in the country already have fully inclusive policies, and they haven't seen any issues with bathrooms or elsewhere, and helping to make arrangements for everyone and being fully inclusive. So we want to tell parents how they can work with their schools, their administrators, and others.
Okay, and so back to Leo. So you had originally, you had your birth certificate changed, right?
Yes.
Is that true? So originally it was female and you had it changed to male.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess that, let me talk to your mom about that. So Lori, how difficult was that process?
It wasn't as difficult as most people think, but you know, we did have to get an attorney involved and go in front of a judge. But we also had to have medical documentation from a therapist and his endocrinologist, supporting that Leo, you know, was on the in the process of transitioning medically as well. You know, with the hormone replacement therapy that he'd been doing that for quite some time, and then we went in front of a judge, and the judge declared and issued an order stating that Leo's name be changed, his birth, his gender card as well. So we have a birth certificate, social security card, driver's license, everything now has his legal name and his legal gender.
And how long ago did that happen?
This happened March 21st of 2015.
Okay.
16, I'm sorry.
Okay, and so that happened this year, but before then, did you ever have any problems at school? Everyone was just on board immediately. You're nodding your head, making me believe that it was not that big of a deal. And so is it kind of like a head scratcher to you to wonder why suddenly this has become a big deal? Eleanor, tell me about what you think.
Well, in a way, yes, but sorry, but the school district that Jasmine goes to is a little bit different. They're making her use the nurse's station. And for a little 8-year-old, sometimes that's a little difficult. She doesn't always make it on time. Last year, she had several accidents just because she couldn't get to the nurse's station fast enough because the teacher didn't notice that she was raising her hand to go to the restroom. Instead of just being able to go across the hall, use the little girl's room, and then come back to class.
Yeah, that's tough for a little girl to do.
Yes.
And how do you tell her that she has to go through this method, that she's different?
Well, she's a brave little girl. And she was like, okay, that's what I have to do. That's what I have to do. But she did say that she got tired of going to the nurse's station, and if there was no teachers in the hall or nobody to see her, she would still go into the girls' bathroom because she felt that's where she belonged.
When did Jasmine start making it clear that she was a girl?
Well, she started about 3 years old as wanting to play with dolls, wanting to dress up all the time. And when she was about 6 years old, when I got custody of her, she was five. And she came to live with me when she was four, and she used to dress up and say, you know, you would ask her, what do you want to be when you grow up? She says, I want to be a girl named Bella. And so that's, I thought it was just a phase at that time, but no. She asked me to stop cutting her hair when she, in about April of last year, she said that she couldn't be a girl with a short boy haircut. So we started growing her hair out, and she said she wanted to go to school as a girl starting last year. So she's been living as a girl, as Jasmine, for a year now.
So you show up at school, you start doing the registration process, right. And when do you realize there's going to be a problem?
The first day of school, I went to speak to the teacher during the parent-teacher conference before school started, and the teacher was fine with it. She didn't have a problem, but the bathroom situation, she said that I needed to speak with the principal. So I went and spoke with the principal, and she had the social worker in there, the guidance counselor in there, and they were saying that they needed to educate the other children, that they didn't feel that the parents would appreciate a little boy using the little girl's room. And I said, excuse me, I said, I don't appreciate my little girl using the little boy's bathroom.
Right. We're going to keep talking about this topic, and as this segment continues, we invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about transgender children here in San Antonio getting ready to go back to school with a lot of political rhetoric about using your birth certificate bathroom. What does that mean for these children and their future? This is The Source on KSTX. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. It's back to school time in Texas, but for some students, this is a time of mounting anxiety due to politically charged rhetoric over transgender bathroom use. Texas leaders are demanding that school districts enforce a birth certificate gender bathroom designation, but advocates for transgender children say that's not working for them. How is this playing out in San Antonio? On Saturday at the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center on San Pedro, 922 San Pedro, they're having a day-long Plática community discussion about what does this mean, what are the realities, how children, they just want to go to school, and how is this going to impact them. We have some folks with us here today in the studio talking about their lives and what this means. You know, their family members, or they might be transgendering, transitioning, you know, they they just want to figure out how to get along in life and not be ostracized. Call in if you got a number, something to say, 210-614-8980. And Marceline is on the line. And Marceline, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
I wanted to know if Leo had ever gone to a extracurricular support group for being trans.
Okay. All right, thank you for the question. So, Leah, did you ever go to a support group or?
Yes. Just last year, in about, I think it was September or October, I was introduced to Fiesta Youth in San Antonio, and their age group that supports, I believe it's 13 to, you're up to 20, and I've been going there ever since.
And how did you find the experience?
It was really fun. The kids there are very crazy, but they're really fun.
And was it good to find out that there are other kids out there like you who have similar experiences?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you will not, everyone that goes there has the same similarity, like has the same problem, or not problem, but issue.
Uh-huh.
And well, it was just...
Well, what do you think the fact, I mean, your mom's here with you, Laura, and she's obviously and clearly so supportive of you, and she wants you to be happy and be successful and have... everything that every mom wants for their child. I mean, is that right, Lori?
Of course. Why wouldn't I? I mean, he's my child, and I carried him in my womb for 9 months, and when he came out, it was nothing has changed to this day. I want what every mother wants for their kid, to be happy, to be safe, you know, especially, and to live their life authentically, and that's what he does every day.
Was there ever any experience, bullies or anything like that? Was that ever a problem for you, Leo?
Actually, I have never crossed not one single bully ever since my transition or even as a kid.
Do you think that's just credit to the fact that you just grew up in a community that wrapped themselves around you and said, hey, Leo, you're Leo. You be Leo.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I was bullied as a kid, but that's just only because I was smarter than them. But
joined a club.
Yeah. But no one's ever bullied me. Everyone's been really supportive of my transition, so I haven't faced one problem.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines.
It also deals...
Okay. Lauren, go ahead.
It also deals with where Leo was blessed enough to go to school, in that they were very welcoming, his friends were very welcoming. My daughter, Izzy, went to a way far north high school, and they threw water bottles at her. One teacher asked her one time in the middle of a class, so, Izzy, does everyone know your little secret? So there are bullies everywhere. And that's, again, that's a part of the reason we're having Saturday, is so that we can ensure that people get educated.
Okay. All right. Another caller, Cynthia, is on the line. I'm really sorry to hear that happened to, your daughter. That's terrible. Cynthia's on the line. Cynthia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm a transgendered person in my 60s. So I've lived in a life where there was no such word, that the public had never heard of this. So I just want to say that these children today, I have probably a mixed blessing. Wonderful that people are showing enough respect to even be talking about it. I mean, presidential candidates are using the word transgender. Oh, my gosh, I'm thinking, what planet is this? But nevertheless, it's sad in the sense that the last thing any of us truly want in our lives is to be singled out for this, when in fact all you want to do is just live a life and forget about it, you know. So, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing, but at the same time, if the worst thing they could do by forcing someone to go to a bathroom that is of their birth certificate is cruel. Once it's understood the emotional feeling that creates in a person, it's brutally cruel. So I'm in favor of what's going on, but I also wish for every one of these children that they will finally be fading into the crowd and forgotten for what this is all about.
Okay, exactly. Cynthia, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. But she brings up the point, you know, that transgender individuals are not new. This is not new. It's just that for a long time, people were not allowed to express themselves in this way. And so let me ask you, Lauren, about how here we are today in society, you know, 2016, and we're telling people you don't have to hide. I mean, is that...
That's absolutely right. When I worked on the non-discrimination ordinance that we have here in San Antonio in 2013, people said horrible things to me. And that's dissipated to some degree. But now our children have become, our trans kids have become ground zero for a lot of political rhetoric here in the state of Texas. And that's very unfortunate. People can say whatever they want to me, but leave my kid out of it. And again, you know, there's nowhere in the country that they can show any real reasons to create such horrible rhetoric. But we really want to educate people, and we want to be able to help people to understand that all of these kids, my daughter and Jasmine, have both expressed this strongly to me. We just want to be normal kids. We don't want to be the trans kid. We just want to be normal kids in school.
All right, another caller with Claiborne is on the line. Claiborne, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Claiborne, you there?
Hello.
Hey there, you're on the air. Okay, we lost him. Well, so one of the arguments that that opponents to this, you know, of transgender identity using bathrooms saying is that this opens a door for people who will today decide, I mean, I'm a guy and I want to go check out girls who are using the bathroom, so today I'm going to, you know, play around with that. And how do you discuss that, Lauren or Lori? Do you want to talk about that?
There have been no, some states, for example, Minnesota has had this law and this fully inclusive law for more than 25 years. And there's been no increase in incidents of assault or anything else in restrooms occurring badly. And there are laws that fully cover peeping, filming. If you go into a restroom for a purpose to commit a crime, you've already committed the crime. And but there have been no incidents of issues anywhere in the country, including in schools. Some schools have had this for years. Again, we point to California, we point to Iowa and others, Massachusetts and others, who've been integrating their schools fully for many years, and there are just no increase in incidents.
Okay, another caller with Marte. Marte, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I can identify as a mother to a lot of the things that the callers and your guests are talking about today. The thing I wanted to point out or to bring up is that my biologically born son is now 19 years old and will be going to college here in San Antonio. He's always considered himself to be pansexual and then maybe moving into gender fluid. And he is considering transitioning, though, to female. And as he started wearing more dresses this summer, he decided that he would try using a female restroom. And he said it was the first time that he ever felt comfortable and relaxed while using a public restroom. He would avoid using the restrooms in high school because he was afraid.
Okay, Marta, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. So was that a common experience, Lauren? Is that?
I would say so.
Yeah, you would think?
I would say so, yeah.
So, Eleanor, you know, what is it about having to go to a bathroom that you don't want to go into? What do you think that is? Why is that?
Fear. Fear of being ostracized because you're different than the other people that are in that restroom. And really, I mean, if you just do away with urinals and make all stalls and just make it a unisex bathroom.
Okay. Another caller. I want to get this caller in really quick from Kathy. Kathy, go ahead. You're on the air.
That was the exact point I was going to make, is when young people use a restroom in a school, it is semi-private because there are stalls, so I don't see what the issue is with the fear-mongering that's going on.
Okay, Kathy, thank you for that. People are cheering for you here in the studio as you make those comments. But, you know, so there's an education process that has to go on. Clearly, there are folks who are still trying to understand what the situation is and there's a lot of counter chatter going on as well, which sort of confuses things. So well, what needs to happen, Lori, to get more people to chill out about this topic?
I think first and foremost, people have to stop and, you know, take a step back and understand that we're talking about children. Okay, we're talking about children, and the most important thing that they want is they want to go to school. They want to go to school and they want to learn. They are not, there's no back hidden agenda of trying to go into the bathroom and do something, you know, that they're not supposed to. They go to the bathroom and that's it. They get out of the bathroom, they go back to class. And as Lauren was saying, California, Los Angeles and San Francisco, that covers about 700,000 students total. They've made it clear that they've not had any problems caused by transgender students or other students pretending to be transgender, walking into the bathroom and causing, you know, something happening. And I think education is the key, and educating educators is probably first and foremost where we have to start.
But it seems like we have this mosaic of different experiences happening in San Antonio, depending on what school district you're in. So Leo went to SAISD, didn't really have any significant disruptions to his life there. But if you go to another school district, you're going to find something else different. So is this up to parents to stand up and say, this is what we expect
Absolutely.
Of our local school district?
Absolutely, yes.
And so we've got to make sure that becomes part of the conversation, or how should we do that, Eleanor?
Saturday.
Okay.
We're going to do it on Saturday, and there needs to be more. I have tried when I first was registering Jasmine, talking about Jade, Jasmine in the school as Jasmine, I tried to tell them that there were organizations out there. I even gave them the number and a contact person to get a hold of, and unfortunately I didn't bring that with me, for them to call them and say, hey, look, you know, we want to be educated on this. They kept saying, oh, I can't believe that, you know, this is an 8-year-old child that's saying right. that she wants, well, 7-year-old child at that time
okay.
that wants to be a transgender, a girl.
So there is a community event that will be held at the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center on Saturday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., a community discussion about what we can do, how do we help these children become just part of our community. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the news.